Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's probably safe to say there's no single answer to ending gun violence in the Chicago area or maybe anywhere, but there are some approaches that work better than others, and the Partnership for Safe and Peaceful Communities is working hard to highlight them. This week, we focus on one. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. I was honored to moderate a forum for the Partnership for Safe and Peaceful Communities. It featured Kobe Williams, a leader in the Community Violence Intervention Field, or CVI. You've probably also heard it referred to as violence interrupters. Mr. Williams has written a book called Interrupting Violence, One Man's Journey to Heal the Streets and Redeem Himself. We were also joined by former Chicago Bulls basketball player Joakim Noah, who is also very active in CVI. We were all invited by Esther Franco Payne, the executive director of the partnership. What you will hear in this half hour are some thoughtful excerpts from a great discussion. Kobe Williams talked about his singular background.
First, I'd like to thank Esther for having this and putting this together. Let's give her a hand, please. And definitely I want to thank all the funders who here who fund the CVI movement as a whole. We can't do this work without you all, so thank you all. So, yes, I grew up part of the problem every day. I was, you know, gangbanging, selling drugs, just out there making bad choices. You know, as a kid, my role model was my father. That's who I looked up to. My father went to prison when I was 3 years old. When he came home from prison, I was like 11 years old. He got killed. So growing up in the neighborhood, you know, as a kid, not just in my household, but in the community, when you come outside on the block, was exposed to so much violence. So when you see violence every day, you think it's just normal. Like, this the way you settle your problems. So think about when your parents told you when you had a problem, somebody hit you or hurt you, you should hit them back and hurt them. So knowing that and just coming out in the neighborhood, just seeing all this, I started making them choices in my life. I'll be the first to say all my life I knew right for wrong, but I still chose to do what I thought was best for me at that time. Growing up, not having no father there, my mother was there, but she was on drugs. My grandparents did the best they can for me, but being in the streets, I felt like it's more love sometimes, more excitement in the streets, running around with people like me. And we all had something in common at that time. And one of the biggest things we had in common, we had no father in our life. So when I look at young people now and the choices they make, I would never judge them. I would never look down on them. You just never know what people are going through, what people been through. So being a part of that community, being a part of everything, and you seeing this every day, that's the way you end up going. That's why when I think about the book, I think about just want to share my story, but it's a lot of more brothers and sisters got stories like that. Look at my brother Eddie over there. I'm using an example of this. Eddie have a story similar to that, but it's just so important that people don't hold our past against us. That's how I want to say. People don't hold our past against that second chance.
Thank you. And the Eddie he refers to is Eddie Bocanegra, who is a nationally known anti-violence advocate, interrupter, and so many other things. But Joakim Noah, you were deciding how you wanted your life and your work to affect people and do better, and you sought out Kobe Williams. Talk to me about what it was that about him and about the kind of work he was doing that inspired you.
Well, first, I see a lot of people doing a lot of amazing work around this city, and I just want to say I appreciate you guys. You guys are a real inspirational. So sometimes I feel uncomfortable sitting up at stages like this because I see people who in this room right now who do unbelievable work. So I just want to always just pay my respects to people who are doing all the angels who are in this fight, fighting against all this violence. You know, when I came to Chicago, I was 20 years old and playing for the Chicago Bulls, obviously. I felt like I was an ambassador for the city. And I watched his documentary, which before his book, he had a documentary too. And I was very inspired. And he tweeted about it. And I ended up, I never done this before. I put, gave him my number on Twitter. and you know, it was like it was a brotherhood that was formed right away. You know, I was just so impressed and so inspired by the way he worked, the way he did his mediations, the way he could move around the city. You know, not a lot of people could do that, you know, especially like if you start understanding what's going on. If you're from one side of the city, it's really hard. Like, these kids are living through these invisible lines, these imaginary lines that are very real to them, but as somebody from the outside looking in, people don't really know the realities that these kids have to face. So what I was most inspired by with Kobe is just the way that he could navigate the city. And it was his idea to start a basketball league. We started off by bringing kids from all around the city and bringing them to the Bulls games, because that's one thing that they had in common. They loved the Chicago Bulls. So that's really how our relationship started, and that's how we started doing this basketball league together.
And let's talk about that as a method, because it's not all that they do. But how do you even get the different factions to be in the same place and look at each other as competitors but not enemies?
Right. So so me, like I say, I started off with Ceasefire. Now it's called Cure Violence Global. So back then, even the relationships, it's all about relationships and knowing everybody. So I ain't going to say me and Joe King do this all by ourselves. So we working closely with the 28 violence prevention organizations. And a lot of these organizations, like Von Bryan said early on, built relationships because they was part of Ceasefire early on. So just building relationships and getting to know people and just calling people in who you have personal relationships with. Like, man, we finna start a one city league and we want to unite the whole city. So we as first, we was like, we probably do about 10 organizations. Then we was going back and forth. So we said 28 organizations. So we really could have went to 40 if we had enough funding for real, because a lot of people, you know, been reaching out and want to be a part of it. So, I mean, just really having relationships in the CVI field and knowing everybody and knowing the organizations in the city and just bringing the city together and reuniting the brothers and sisters and all that. But the beauty about this, these organizations are working with these young people every day, though. So they seeing them every day. They like they participants. You know, they seeing them every day. They working with them and different things like that. So it was an easy fix. But I love the beauty of it. We were able to pay them $50 a game. You know, that helped go a long way. And we have coaches, coordinators, and everybody who are part of this. But to bring them together. But before they even play basketball, we do workshops with them. Financial literacy, building relationship, conflict resolution, and different things like that. So we bring them in. Basketball is just the hook to get them there, but it's much bigger than basketball. You want to add anything on that, Joe?
Yeah, because sometimes when we do these basketball leagues, Kobe thinks he can play basketball. And I tell him all the time, like, just please, just stick to the mediation. That's what you're good at. We got the basketball piece on this side. So that's been an issue over the years.
Oh, man.
But I will also say that this basketball league, I remember when Kobe had an idea of bringing this basketball league together, and we started that, what, 10 years? More than 10 years ago at St. Sabina.
Yes, about 11 years ago. Yeah.
11 years ago at St. Sabina. And when we decided to do it, you know, people really thought that we were crazy for trying to bring guys playing basketball against each other. We're in the church. I remember the Nation of Islam was doing the security, And to me, that was just so powerful that people could put their beliefs and every, like, even though they had different beliefs, the Nation of Islam was in the church putting their differences to the side for the good of the community. And that league was probably the most powerful experience I ever had in Chicago. Like, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, because it was just so beautiful to see the melting pot, the amount of people from different parts of town coming together for one goal, and that's to help these young men who desperately need help. You know, like, we could talk about violence prevention. These are just, at the end of the day, how do we personalize these kids? Because they're kids. They're human beings, and the way that we talk about them in the news and all this stuff is like as if they're not kids.
Hmm. That's an excellent point that I want to dive deeper on, because what does it say that young people who could be shooting at each other, could be fighting, are willing to get together? Does it say something about them as kids and what they want, that they even try something like that? Because, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of adults would go, you guys are crazy. You're going to get, you know, you're going to have the biggest fight in the, you know, in the neighborhood.
Right. I think a lot of times when I think about the CVI field, right, as a whole, man, a lot of times people don't understand the power of us doing this work, man. I think, I mean, y'all get it because y'all here, but it's so many people that we all need to tap into, need to support this movement, though. Because I look at myself, I look at Eddie, and I see a lot of other more of my brothers in here do the work. It's like, we started off part of the problem, right? We did, now we've been doing this violence prevention over 20 years. We really help changing people, mindset, changing people thinking. I helped set up programs all over the world, New York, Baltimore, Trinidad, Africa, and all that. But I'm saying it's so many credible messengers, not just here, all over, though, all over the world right now. So, I mean, and we all been incarcerated before. So I'm saying to give a person a second chance, give us an opportunity to redeem ourselves. I think we're doing great. And a lot of times, people look at us and people say things about us, don't want to give us that chance. So I think it's important to invest in people like us, because we are really making an impact in the community, and we have real strong relationships. And once again, we are meeting people where they are without judging nobody. So to meet people where they are, it's not judging them, it's big. To see people come play these one-on-one, these basketball tournaments at one city is major. It's people who was shooting at each other, looking at each other as an opposition, who just didn't like each other. Now they getting along with each other. Now they sometimes riding the car together to the game. Sometimes they playing on the same team together. So the hook by using basketball to do that is remarkable. And the other thing I want to say about Joe King, I have so much respect and honor for this guy, because I remember when I first met him, like yesterday, and we met at PF Chain, and we just sit down, and he was like, man, I want to get involved. I want to do this. You know, I met his mama early on, Northside Foundation, all that. And, man, we had a good conversation. He started coming to the community by himself, no security or nothing. He'll drive out there, or I pick him up, and he was coming in the neighborhood. And he kept saying, he said, Kobe, when this basketball is over with, I'm going to be working right with you with violence prevention. So I want to applaud this guy. Could we give him a hand, please, man?
And Joaquin, let me ask you, because let's face it, if I knew I was going to be playing in a basketball game and Joaquin Noah was going to be there, I'd be really jazzed about it. But you get to talk to those kids, and I'm sure they listen to you. What are you hearing from them that lets you know that this is one way, and a good way, to get them on the right path?
You know, more than talk to them, I try to listen. Try to listen to them. People are preaching at them and telling them what to do all the time. And we all know this is not a simple issue. This violence situation is, if somebody had the answer, you know, we wouldn't be here talking about this. So we're talking about trying to find solutions. It's, this violence thing is obviously like very complicated because we haven't figured it out. We're losing, you know, that's the truth. And look, I didn't grow up around violence. I grew up I have a privileged background. I played in the NBA for a long time, but I'm not going to turn my back on these issues because they matter. And I feel like we all have a role to play. And the role is to get the kids to participate as much as possible and be able to have them speak, not just have people come up on platform and talk down on them. First of all, when I have conversations with the kids, I try to be at their level, sit down at their level, where it's not like a pedestal thing. And back to Kobe, it's like Kobe can have conversations with some of the kids that I can't have. I can have a conversation about basketball, or you want to talk about basketball, you want to talk about my experience and how I made it and all this stuff. That's cool. That might be inspiring or interesting to some of the kids. But when Kobe can share his story, it hits different. And the kids that we're targeting are the kids that after the game, Kobe's talking to them on the side and having conversations with them. And I'm there to help in any way I can. But everybody has a role to play in this, and the role is completely different.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and you're hearing most of a conversation with community violence intervention leader and author Kobe Williams and former Chicago Bulls star Joakim Noah. It was part of a forum put on by the Partnership for Safe and Peaceful Communities, an affiliate of the United Way of Metropolitan Chicago. They hosted the event. I asked Kobe Williams about one reality for violence interrupters. It is dangerous work. A number of them have been killed.
Yeah, that always come up. And but honestly, for the people who've been doing this for a while, and I do agree with you, it is dangerous, right? But I don't see it like that. And the reason I don't, it's like we doing work in the community where we come from, where we help messed up. So we rebuilding our community back. So it's like we took so much from our community, most of us. So now we being entrusted to put back in our community and help our people. So I know I saw situations where it do get dangerous and all that, but it still go back to the respect you have in the community, the credibility, you know, people knowing you. And like Joe just said, it's all about still meeting people where they are, though. So if you doing this work and you try to come off like you telling somebody what to do, you dictate them and bossing to them, they is going to respond a different way. But if you come into them, like he said, if you just listening to these individuals and hearing what they got to say and meeting them where they are. When you meet people where they are, I ain't going to sit up and say every mediation I was involved with, we was able to stop a shooting and stop the killing. But one thing that we can say in this work, we don't give up on nobody. So a lot of times when people think about mediation, they think about just one point of it. You mediated this conflict, it's over with. No. The most critical part to me is the follow-up. You got to constantly be in their ear. You got to constantly be talking to them. You got to constantly, we call it babysitting. You got to constantly babysit with them, follow up with them. Because sometimes when people get around their friends or get around whoever, they get to smoking, they get to drinking, and people put stuff in their head. Sometimes they just want to respond that way. So that's why I keep saying in this field, the brothers and sisters out here on the ground, man, are really making an impact because they do this all night around the table, you know, making a difference. A lot of us, I remember when me and Eddie first started, we was laid off two or three different times without getting funded, but we continue doing the work, though. And we always live by the work come first. So a lot of times, it ain't going to be peaches and cream, but we know we got a job to do, and it's a must we do it.
How much of what you're facing, how much of a challenge is it that people, everyday people, have a perception of the young people you're dealing with? I mean, that that they don't look at them as the potential saviors of the community. They look at them as people that they maybe want to put out or see in jail.
Right. I'll start. I think what people got to remember that we are our very first participant. That's how I look at it. When I first started doing this work, when we talk about we working with the highest risk, I was high risk, so I'm my first participant. I'm working on me. I'm working on me well as therapy. So to get that opportunity to do this work, it's wonderful. I mean, we had people who, most of us had just came home from prison, right, and get an opportunity. We get right through in the fire, and I'm saying in a good way to really want to get back to our community. So I'm my first participant. So when people look at the young people out there and looking quick to judge them, I feel like you judging me then because I was just right there with them. So me being my first participant, I'm trying to help better me, but I want to work on trying to help better them, but I don't want to be in judging them. And a lot of times people might look at, oh, why, you know, sometimes you get it where people, oh, why y'all funding this program and fund that program? These are the people who really make an impact in the community, though. So it's important to fund these programs. And the last thing I say is, if it weren't for these CVI organizations, when we talking about 500 shooters last year, it probably would be 1,000 shooters last year without these brothers and sisters out here making a difference. When people talking about it was 400 killings, it probably would be about 800 killings and all that. So these brothers and sisters out here making a difference every day, and they dedicated every day. And a lot of times, when you really doing this work, man, I saw in situations, I've been doing this so long, this work, it mess up your home sometimes. It can, you know, you could be happy at home with your family, but you get so dedicated and caught in this work because your mindset is this: I know where my kids at, but these kids ain't got nobody. So I salute my brothers and sisters in this field.
Joakim, how do we change the perception so that people don't judge the kids you're working with? What can we do to make them see what you see?
That's a tough question. But I would say just show up, you know, show up, show the kids that the more, you know, I have a newborn, so I'm exhausted. I'm sorry, guys. Like, this is real,
man,
but
I feel you.
You know, I would say just show up. You know, it's there's a lot of people here showing up, and that's why I'm here today, is to put light on the people who are doing great work. I've seen my brother Kobe put in work, and I'm really proud to be sitting by him because I know what he does in the community. And I think the more that we can show up for these kids and let them know that they're with us and we believe in them, when we listen to them, I think that's already a great step. You know, everybody has a different role to play in this, whether you're a funder, whether you're a social worker, whether you're an NBA player. You know, we all have a role to play. Like, use your ecosystems, talk about it, talk about violence being a public health issue. And I think that's important.
We haven't said anything about another force in this, you know, on the playing field here, and that's the police. What better or different needs to happen with police or about the police that could make the job easier, that could make it more successful?
Right. I think, like Joe just said, I piggyback on him saying, everybody got a role to play. So our main focus, you know, in this field of violence prevention, we focus on stopping shooting and killing on the front end before it even happened. We focus on changing mindsets, changing behavior, meeting people where they at, and different things. Once law enforcement get in, they got a job to do, like we got a job to do. But we try to help them before they go down that road. But and we want people to know also, though, when you give people opportunities, it helps things better, though. We don't look at it as the lens like we want to see our brothers and sisters locked up, though. And we understand people make choices. You know, sometimes people, I mean, like right now, I know I got somewhere to go to when I leave here. I got a home to go to. But we working with young men, young ladies who don't have nobody. They don't have no home and all that. So when somebody, you know, make a bad choice, I say a bad choice in their life, I just want to see a way where we could help them. That's all. Just want to see a way to help them. And I always want to say this. It ain't no, I just want to say, we trying to work on starting a girls' league too. I just want y'all to hear that now. Just keep that going.
What more can you do? And you're doing enough. But what more can you do, or what more would you want to see being done here or anywhere?
I'll just say here, not everywhere right now. No. I think there's a lot of things I'd like to see. I mean, continue to support the whole CVI movement as a whole. More workers on the ground. I like to even see with this one city league, like we do it twice a year, right? I like to see us do it all year round. I mean, the stories that you hear from these young people when they coming back, right? When they coming back and saying, man, I got to get in the house early Friday because we got a big game Saturday morning. You know, I remember when me and Joe King was on the west side, they kept walking up to him and say, man, Joe, it ain't, man, this $50 really helped me a lot. You know, I'd like to see these guys in one city get more money. I'm talking about the participants, the coaches, or whoever. I'd like to see the lead 24/7, you know, all year round. I'd like to see more, you know, I'd like to see girls lead on a regular. But also, I'd like people to support us evaluating this. You know, I mean, it's a lot. Data collection, you know, it's a lot that you could support, you know. But it's just us just working together, though, somehow. Most important, working together and continue building these relationships to happen.
I'd like to thank Kobe Williams and Joakim Noah for speaking with me, and Esther Franco Payne, the director of the Partnership for Safe and Peaceful Communities, for allowing me to moderate the discussion. Kobe Williams' book, again, is Interrupting Violence, One Man's Journey to Heal the Streets and Redeem Himself. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, wbbmnewsradio.com. There's a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcasts on odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.